Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. Hello. So just the other day was the 3rd of February. This Russian commander, Armen Sarkisian, he was killed in Moscow, presumably by Ukrainian intelligence, the SBU. So bomb went off at his Moscow apartment building. What really caught my eye is that Alia Parusa, and I used to live across the street from that. So it was this about 40-story luxury block of flats. I never went into it. You could only get into it if you live there. They cost over $2 million each, which is maybe 10 times the cost of an average Moscow flat. Anyway, so he's ethnically Armenian. You could tell that from the IAN suffix in his name, Sarkisian. They've always got names like Gevorkian, Kevorkian, Armanian, Pashinian, and Agassian, Matossian, Bodikian, any IAN ending all the time. So, but he'd founded a unit for ethnic Armenians to fight in Ukraine. Now, there's a rather conflictual relationship between the two because Armenia was often a Russian ally because they'd been near hostile states, the Ottoman Empire, the Persian Empire, conquered by the Russian Empire a few centuries ago, and the Ruskies were the only thing saving them from genocide at the hands of the Turks. And obviously, they're part of the Soviet Union for a long time. Indeed, Anastas Mikoyan was briefly the Soviet head of state in the was it the early 1960s, and he was ethnic Armenian. And his brother Artyom Mikoyan, the main aeronautical designer at the time, that's why the MiG planes. It actually should be MiK from Mikoyan, those fighter jets. But Armenians in recent years have been bitterly disappointed that Russia's let them down. Hasn't given them military aid against Azerbaijan, despite Armenia and being part of the Collective Security Treaty Organization. That's Moscow's pathetically puny answer to NATO. But there are about 3 million Armenians in Armenia, and more than that in the diaspora, and sort of at least 1 million Russian citizens of Armenian or part Armenian descent, including Sergei Lavrov, Putin's foreign minister's Armenian on his mother's side. So there have been a number of shootings and bombs which have gone off in Moscow since the war began, showing that the SBU can strike almost anywhere. And obviously, he's not the highest value person to kill. They'd want to kill Putin himself, top general. Now, obviously, Russia's treating this as terrorism, but surely he's a legitimate military target. I would generally say, okay, we don't kill unarmed people. But you might point out that, come on, that went out over a century ago with these very long-range weapons. We've got missiles that can go thousands of kilometers, and nobody's going to fret over whether the person who gets killed is holding a gun at the moment of impact or not. It doesn't make any difference. Russia's obviously certainly killed unarmed people on a vast scale in this war, particularly children, women, all sorts of civilians, elderly people, prisoners of war, committing willful murder many, many times. And it's not the concomitant of a proper military attack. It's no, killing civilians, knowing them to be civilians when there's no military objective anywhere around. So as for Sarkisian and his bodyguard being killed, well, as Sarkisian couldn't happen to a nicer guy, part of Arbat, as an Armenian battalion, which is a part of Redut. Redut is one of those Russian private military companies. Now, mercenary activity is outlawed according to Russian law, but Russia is this sort of land of topsy-turvydom where they'll be very officious for, shoplifting, get several years in prison, but you can commit the most flagrant crimes on a huge scale and get clean away with it. The Wagner Group, openly advertising, is a mercenary organization, and yet they're allowed to get away with it. So there's a lot of cognitive dissonance. There's all this casuistry that arguing that up is down in Russia, that a war isn't a war, that no, a private military company is not a mercenary organization when it most certainly is. So Redut was like a rival to Wagner, one of the reasons for the demise of Wagner, not giving sufficient ammunition to Prigozhin's organization in 2023, was there were rival companies like Redut, like Patriot, like Enot, and various generals and Ministry of Defense bureaucrats had a financial interest in the success of the other ones, were a bit envious in the relative success and size of Wagner, especially considering that Prigozhin had never actually been even a private soldier for a single day. So Sarkisian is suspected by Kyiv of having been involved in violence in the Maidan protests in 2014, when Russia was really trying to prop up its puppet Yanukovych. Now, Yanukovych, I mean, he genuinely wanted to be pro-Moscow, and he did have a segment of Ukrainian opinion on his side, but really he was just going to be a yes man for them. So anyway, the Ukrainian press is largely saying that he was a good friend, Sarkisian, a good friend of Viktor Yanukovych, the Ukrainian president who fled to Moscow in the spring of 2014 after the Euromaidan protest. So anyway, he was arrested in France sometime later, supposed to be extradited to Ukraine, but foolishly let out on bail and I think managed to flee. So yeah, I mean, 2 months ago there was another high profile assassination. I suppose the Ukrainians would like to get the top brass as much as they can, and because you'd be a bit more reluctant to step into Sarkisian's shoes, knowing that they can get you anywhere, that like nowhere is safe. And I wouldn't say that nowhere is safe, but most places aren't. I mean, there's some very secure locations where nuclear weapons are kept, but Putin will have layer after layer of security around him, which is, of course, very, very wasteful, having so many people in the Federal Protective Service, his bodyguards, hundreds of them, you know, young men in excellent physical condition who could otherwise be doing something for Russia on the front line in the Ukraine. So put a chill wind into the minds of other Russian mercenary commanders that when you go home on leave, no, you're not safe. And Ukraine had a policy of using their snipers to take out Russian generals, because obviously they take decades to grow. They need experience, they need training. They can't just be, it can't be just like a few weeks, like some private rush through basic training. So to worry them, to show just how feeble Russia is, they've had the securitization of Russian society over a few decades under Putin, and it's not working. Their civil liberties taken away. You've never seen so many police in your life as in the center of Moscow. Admittedly, Alia Parusa, that building is like 15 kilometers from Red Square, at least, spit northwest of the city center. It's not working, despite the CCTV, despite the huge budget of the FSB, is actually can't keep people safe. And that this war has made them imperiled. It has not made them more secure, made them insecure. So Putin is failing on his major objective, supposed demilitarization of Ukraine. Well, it's not happening. And I can say with confidence that it won't be the last time that Ukraine does this kind of thing. So I don't want anyone else to get killed. I'd like the war to come to an end now, and then Russia to unconditionally and immediately withdraw from Ukraine, and then it'd be over. Release of all prisoners of war, all those Ukrainians who were kidnapped, allowed to return to their homes. That's particularly over 20,000 children. Their compensation to be paid to those who suffered. War crimes tribunal for anyone on either side who's committed crimes, and they must face justice for what they've done. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.